Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. By some, he's been called controversial.
How can I convince you when your ears refuse to hear? You turn your heart away from me each time when I draw near. Your eyes refuse. Mine, they glance away in fear, as if you should not look at your reception in the mirror.
Now, keep in mind that some of my guests have been approached by Homeland Security or FBI saying, why are you going on the Clay Douglas Show?
My message to those guys, if they're listening this morning, is go get a cup of coffee. Maybe you'll learn something.
We both took the same oath. You know, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't recall there being an expiration date on that.
Well, it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain? Knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies.
He is the free American, Clay Douglas. Catch the Free American weekdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and rub the sand. Why do
For the podcast and more details, visit www.freeamerican.com or catch the podcast by phone by calling 832-999-8621.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Free American. I am your host. I am Clay Douglas. And my guest today is Carl Swinson. We're going to be talking about a new thing here, Americans Standing United. Now, later on in the show, Jim Porter will be joining us. And I had Jim on yesterday. And we talked about how we can stand up against the judiciary. Carl's been on my show. We've talked about the problem with lawyers. And between the bankers and the lawyers, you can sum up all of our problems. Welcome, Carl.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, Clay?
Well, I'm doing well. Still got my health, and I have to tell you, reading the what you've written, and it's still under construction, folks. But the mission statement that Carl has put up here is: we are committed to empowering men and women from across America to champion the cause of all individuals and groups who have, by the fruits of their labor, laid the lawful groundwork for which we now stand. And, you know, I've told people over and over again, it's individuals here, it's communities here, it's people working together that's going to change things. These banksters, and their employees, the lawyers, the attorneys, they're the real criminals, I believe, in my opinion.
In your humble opinion. Yeah, I got it.
Opinion, you know. But that's just based on 20 years of research about these criminals. And I can't find any other word that fits this. They are masquerading, they're imposters, they are not what they say they are not what they're supposed to be, and they've really taken our country and our judiciary system and our money. They've stolen our money.
Frankly, I'd kind of like to waterboard some of them to find out exactly what they do know and from whence they come.
I think
that would be that would be a good place to start, and preferably a judge, a high-ranking judge, since they seem to be more apt to know the real truth of the matter. You know,
maybe we should just start at the top and work down to the Supreme Court. It would be a good place to start, I think.
Well, if we had our dreams come true, then yeah, that's the way that would work. But of course, that's not the way it's going to work, because the powers that be remain powers that be because they're able to throw the lower hanging fruit under the bus and give people the raw meat that they need that way, thereby saving their skinny little asses. And that's the way it's been through history, and that's the way it's going to remain for the time being.
I've told people there's not a point in history that you can point out where it's been easy to be free, you know? You could have been knocked in the head and tossed on a boat in England, you know, 400 years ago. Not easy.
You know, it's never going to change until we change it. You know, there's mention in the Bible about the 1,000-year reign of peace. Well, not before there's a hell of a lot of turmoil, and we haven't approached the turmoil stage yet. So you can forget about thinking about that peace until you decide you want to do something about it. Because let's face it, it always has been our fault. Because we didn't do what we were supposed to do all through our lives. We didn't stand up for our freedoms. We didn't oversee the daily comings and goings of the business community, of the courts. We didn't oversee any of that stuff. We just let them run rampant and roughshod over what we were doing. We didn't know that everything was turned over to the UN back in 46, I believe it was. We didn't know that FDR was the villain that he is, because everybody kept telling us what a great guy he was. You know, we didn't know that that back during the Civil War, they never really allowed peace to be declared and kept us under the Lieber Code martial law. No, we didn't know that stuff because they kept that hidden. And they did so for a reason, so that they could keep
us. I have watched historical films of Hitler's rise to power, and I've also watched historical films about Roosevelt and Uncle Joe, his buddy, killed 60 million people. And I have no wonder anymore why they tried to demonize Hitler so bad, because he was actually working for the German people. The German people loved him. They were standing up and cheering him, and he was removing the bankers from their control over the Germans.
And that's exactly why the people in London, the city of London, that nation state, started getting real, real worried, because their plan worked too good. When they shipped those communists over there to Russia to unseat the Tsar and murder all the ruling family, they did so because, guess what? The bankers weren't invited there, and they wanted control of the world. They're like that that cartoon Pinky and the Brain. Every day they wake up. Today we're going to take over the world.
This is more of the lies we've been fed. You know, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. The Russians were never our, the Russian people were never our enemy. It was the bankers' gangs, the Bolsheviks, that that were the bad guys there that were killing all of the white Christian Russians. What are they? Isn't that accurate?
Pretty much. And now they're doing it all over again. History repeats itself so many times. Obama's been on record as saying that we created ISIL, ISIS, we created them. Why in God's name would we create a terrorist force?
For the same reason we created this influx of illegal aliens. And the only one talking about that's Donald Trump. He's not exactly real high in my list of people I'd vote for, but he's actually telling us the truth about these Mexicans that Obama put on buses. Oh, you don't have to walk no more. We'll bring you up on airplanes. We'll bring you up on buses. And how many Americans have died at the hands of these brown-skinned Mexican Bolsheviks? I guess you guys, that's what they are, really, aren't they?
Uh-huh. And to this day, I would really, really, really like to know exactly what it is that's going on at the former Southside Hospital in Chicago, Oak Forest, because something really, really weird is happening there. And it's covert, it's under the table, and the people there in Chicago are just so sick and tired of having that hospital be in the news that they don't care anymore. They literally don't care. But something really, really bad is going on up there, and chances are that those people that are supposed to only be operating offshore, called the CIA, that foreign corporation, you know, seems like they're operating all over the place here in the United States. Well, and now, freely, without any reports.
They certainly showed up at my hospital. How are you doing? You been hallucinating, Clay? Well, we're CIA in this country, and what are you doing messing with me?
Yeah. You know, folks, we can go on and on and on and on. And yet, everything remains the same and will remain the same until you get off your ass. And that's what American Standing United is all about. Because, you see, only through our actions will things change. And when I say actions, I'm not talking about writing your little love letters or maybe doing a petition or maybe even, filing a criminal complaint. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. Actions. We know who the criminals are. We know where they are. And we know what they're doing. And as soon as we get the opportunity to make the wrath of the American public, until we do that, we are pushing a rope uphill. Just doesn't work, my friends. So that's why we're forming this group, have formed this group. That'll be working with other groups across the country. We invite one and all to come with us. The website should be up totally within the next couple of days. The mission statement's going to change a little bit, by the way. We're refining that play along with our purpose. And what we're going to be doing is working with every group that has been out there claiming that they have them dead to rights, that they have the evidence, they have the scoop on them, and just don't have any way of enforcing our laws. If we don't have any way of enforcing our laws, what good are they? Because right now, the judiciary controls everything. There are no three branches of government. There's one. It's all rolled into the judiciary, and the teams of attorneys all across the country. 1.2 million of them. Boy, nice little army they've got going. The only problem for them is that they're not really good at hand-to-hand or any kind of combat. So they've got to get somebody else to do their dirty work for them.
Drop them in with me.
Well, you know, our enemy. Who is our enemy, Clay? Our enemy is the attorneys. Our enemy is the judiciary. Our enemy is the media.
We have... Now, folks, just think about this for a minute. Supposedly, we're a free country, and yet we have more Americans in prison, in jails, than any communist country out there, including China, with 3 times, 4 times our population. Everything Carl is telling you here is absolute fact. These attorneys are putting you in jail. Oh, you know, we get you a plea bargain. You can take a plea bargain for this ticket here, for this case here, for this possession case that you got here, or you're going to go to prison and work for IBM for 25 cents an hour.
America is now the biggest Auschwitz the world has ever seen. Slave labor, which is what everybody was crying about as far as the production of the Chinese people and their ability to take over our markets. Slave labor is totally in effect right here, right now, and you don't even see it. You just don't see it. So at some point, maybe when it strikes home, and that's generally what it takes, it's got to strike home. And the people don't really understand it until such time as it does. I have a, for instance, I just left the courthouse in Cobb County here on Monday, where once again, the attorneys successfully wrangled a plea deal out of a gentleman because he, you see, wanted to do something good for his dad who had stage 4 cancer. So he went out and bought a whole bunch of pot, and it was going to make cannabis oil. Somebody got wind of that, arrested him, and he's been incarcerated for the past 8 or 9 months. But he was fighting. He was fighting in what could only be described as the right way, using our natural laws and challenging their jurisdiction, and they were getting really, really nervous. So each time they offered him a plea deal, it kept getting better and better because, you know, hell, he was forced facing 36 years. Because what they do is they find one crime and then they tack on 4, 5, 6 others so that they have something to negotiate with. And that's the way this works. It doesn't matter that that a man has guns, except when in the commission of a felony. Now, most of us think that that means maybe an armed robbery or something like that. No. Anything that they call a felony means that if you have a gun, period, now you have a gun in possession in the commission of a felony. So it's all about them taking the guns away from the people. And frankly, if I was in their shoes, I'd do the same thing because I'd be nervous as hell with all the people out there that do own guns. I'd be taking them away as fast and furious as I can. But that's not going to really get it for them because, you see, when the stuff hits the fan, those that weren't allowed to have those guns, they're not going to really be paying attention to these laws anymore. Laws that aren't laws, by the way. They're statutes. They're codes. But they're not laws. They never have been. And of course, they know that. The only laws we have were laid forth in the Constitution and in common law. Now, there's a lot of speculation going on out there as to exactly what is common law because, you know, it came over from England and it was the king's law, queen's law, whatever you want to call it. Well, yeah, we did kind of take that from the country that we conquered over here, that is. And we put it to play, and then the attorneys decided to use it to create case law by using precedents. So everything was precedents. And now even the case law of of common law can be, it can be twisted. But the bad thing for them is it can be untwisted as well. Statutory laws that they want to call laws, kind of hard to undo those. But we've got millions of them on the books. As a matter of fact, we've got so many on the books that at any one time, any part of the day, you can be picked up, you can be charged with a felony, and you'll never even know that that felony was on the books. And then you'll be told that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, let me tell you, when you've got over a million laws on the books, I'm sorry, but chances are pretty good. There's nobody, including the legal teams themselves, know all these laws. I've seen it in play, and I've seen them arrest people for things that are just unconscionable. Future crimes, after the fact, that didn't happen. Gee, what a deal. So we know who the players are. We know who the criminals are. They've been called out in many cases. And it's just a matter of us now putting the numbers together to affect the arrest and or removal of these players.
You know,
and the, go ahead.
3 days ago, I did a story about out of Georgia, about Leo Frank. He was the owner of a pencil factory, and he raped and murdered a 16-year-old girl that worked for him. And he went through the legal system, and I think it was the governor wanted to pardon him after two or three trials, and after he was found guilty and sentenced to hang. The governor was going to pardon him, give him a new trial. And the people of the county, and it may have been Cobb County, I'm not sure. Some attorneys, actually, well, I guess they had a few legal attorneys, but the businessmen went to the jail and took Leo Frank out and hung him. Not exactly mob violence, because he had already been found guilty. They were just, these attorneys were trying to get him released. And I thought I did the whole show on that with all of the history. And it was a reporter that actually was there, and I got it right, or we wouldn't even know this had happened. And I thought to myself, you know, this is kind of what we need to happen here. If the attorneys and the lawyers and the politicians aren't going to indict themselves, aren't going to try themselves, put themselves on trial here, it falls upon the people to do that. And that's kind of excited me on this Americans Standing United that you're creating here.
That's what we're talking about. And, you know, the funny thing is that initially, what we're finding is that people are genuinely afraid. They're afraid to stand up. They're afraid to rock the boat because they know that they know that life as they have known it will probably change.
I don't want to call attention to myself. I just want to keep my head below the radar. You're a coward. That's what you are.
Can't we all just get along? Yeah. Yeah, sure we can. Keep holding on to that thought, folks, while they're casting your chains. Keep holding on to that thought when you see those prison cars rolling up and down the tracks. They keep moving them around, and they keep calling them, what are they, auto transports. Yeah, that's what they are. With those little light portals to allow some air to get in.
Yeah, and the chains to hold the cars down, right?
Yeah, yeah. The way they've got that set up is just so perfectly situated for prisoner transport that. What can you say?
If the United States already has more Americans in jails, in prisons. What's a few more? What are you that will include you this time?
Yeah, probably will. You know, that's the whole purpose of FEMA, is it not? To expand their base, to expand the prisons, and make prisoners out of all of us. If you are a good compliant slave, then chances are you may have some use in their overall structure. But every time this has been tried through history, people finally get wise and they say no more. They rise up and they say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And they don't. And they stand united. They stand in the face of adversity and they make the changes necessary. That's what we do. That's what free people do. But as you've already stated, it's anything but free. We have to fight for it. We've always had to fight for it. And the way I look at it, the way we look at it right now, Clayton, is that we have one, count them, one peaceful remedy left in our quiver. And that is this. And that is to go in mass to any one of a number of locations. And we're not going to say which one right now. Although they want to, good God, they really have a strong desire to name the place. And I have to keep telling them, no, that's going to be wrong. If you name the place, then they'll know where to send the troops. And we really don't want to do that. So we're going to have to be a little bit more clever than they are.
That so we should be why that this new Jade Helm exercise has listed Texas as an enemy combatant. They've listed Texas as a hostile state because we still remember the Alamo here, and we remember Waco.
Well, I'm glad somebody remembers, because frankly, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I don't know why, but they don't remember. They say they do, but they don't. Because if they did, they'd see what is going on right under their noses. They'd see their friends and neighbors being railroaded into these prisons, having their guns taken away from them, having them neutered, having them drugged, for God's sakes. That's another thing I couldn't believe as I watched prisoner after prisoner be paraded in front of this judge who was just dripping with arsenic-laced honey. This guy was just all about removing the guns from their possession and making sure that they were on some sort of psychotropic drugs.
One of my points of contention, I am a veteran. I did volunteer for Vietnam, and they did try to kill me before I got there, and I'm watching them drug all of my brothers that survived. And you know, more of my fellow Vietnam veterans have committed suicide since they got back than were killed in Vietnam.
Yep, and nobody seems to give a flying you-know-what about it. They don't give a flying you-know-what about the Agent Orange damage that's been done to all of the veterans that came back from there.
20 years ago, I tried to tell people that the reason they used Agent Orange was because they didn't want healthy veterans, combat-hardened veterans, coming back to this country and seeing what a communist mess we've got here.
Yeah, well, they did a hell of a job, and they continue to do that. And what they haven't accomplished there, they continue to try and accomplish here with these atmospheric aerosols, I think is the latest term they're using for it.
I made a video of chemtrails over 20 years ago. I tried to warn people then. I've also made a video over 15 years ago called The True Face of FEMA. I filmed the first Homeland Security meeting. Oh, we're in for a long war. This war may go longer than the Cold War. And this war is going to be fought here. The enemy's weak. The enemy doesn't have tanks. The enemy doesn't have planes. I said, that's because the enemy's you, the American people.
Yeah. That's correct. And thank you very much, FDR, for turning us all into enemies of the state. They just made it official. They just made it, what's the term, Clayton? Oh, yeah, legal. 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 I love that term. I love the term legalese because it explains exactly what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a foreign language. We don't understand it. We're not meant to understand it. It's satanic in origin, and it's used to convince you that you can't speak the language, and therefore you are incompetent to stand before these black roads.
I might add that if you hire a lawyer, then you have basically told the court that you are mentally incompetent.
That is correct. Oh, and you should have seen the wild gestures from this judge that was taking care of this court, because I was wearing a white shirt and I had a little recorder, and I had the recorder microphone clearly on display on the outside. I was talking to the bailiff, trying to get some information to the defendant. And you know, finally, and I had been doing this right along, recording them, that is. Finally, somebody made the judge aware of that. And he looked over at me and he says, Crawford, Mr. Alfred, are you recording? I said, well, yes, I am, Judge. And with a wave of his arm, a very forceful wave of his arm, just like a sorcerer would do, be gone. Get him out of here. Not to return until there is no more recording devices. Gee, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid of what I had already recorded that day when the judge was pleading with everybody that was in the audience to talk some sense into the prisoner, to take the plea deals that had been offered? Literally, he was soliciting everybody to do that, including myself, asking them to be named. And he did. He got the names of everybody that was there for him. You know something? This is a satanic group, and it always has been. Their affiliations are with the Vatican, who, by the way, write most of the Admiralty laws. We write a lot of statutes and codes over here, but all the Admiralty laws are written by the Vatican. And they do so in conjunction with the other nation state, the City of London. And then the Lieber Code goons over here, who have no civil authority to turn to be guided properly, they are the new police. They make sure that the laws of the corporations are adhered to.
And we are talking about corporations, the corporation of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I had Jim Porter on my show the other day, and that was really interesting. He'll be with us in about 30 minutes. But they were just pointing out these corporations. Some of them didn't exist. The state of Georgia, the people of the state of Georgia, the same ones that found the shooter in the theaters guilty. That was the people of the state of Colorado, a corporation that doesn't even exist.
I don't know how you can understand this any better, but in fiction, which is what they are operating in fiction, a fictitious character cannot bring a charge in court. It is a fraud upon the court. That's their own laws. It's in Black's Law. And of course, since it was in Black's Law and Bouvier's dictionary, by the way, they had to change those words, and they did. They maneuvered around a little bit, but the meaning exactly the same. A fiction cannot bring charges because you are entitled to stand before your accuser. Well, who is your accuser when it is a corporation that people cannot exactly identify? Now, I can. Now I can. But very few people have any idea. And when pressured, the judges in this case will pound their chest and say, I'm the state. I'm the state.
Don't bring that Constitution into my courtroom.
Let's see. This isn't even the Constitution. This is their laws. Their statutes, their codes, their understanding that they want us to try and adhere to, that we can't because we don't speak the language. But let's face it. If the prosecutor is bringing charges on behalf of the state, is he not now your accuser? And how can your accuser be a member of the court? They can't be a member of the court. And yet that's the only possible answer to that question.
Isn't your own attorney, if you're foolish enough to hire one, isn't your attorney actually working for the court, not you anymore?
Not only does all of the attorneys work for the court, they pledge an oath to the same. And they get the sheriffs to pledge an oath to the same. And then they write all kinds of different codes to protect them. And then they advise them, counsel them on how to avoid the other oath, which is to the Constitution, both the state and the federal. So, you see, it's all about the attorneys. Always has been about the attorneys. And I know there's one man out there, Dennis Schulke, he wrote a book called Attorneys Above the Law. And he wrote that before he knows now. But bottom line is he was correct. They are above the law. And now, because of that, they put all of their people that are the elected above the law by absorbing them into a myriad of corporations that people that are elected just don't seem to have a problem with. They just think it's the normal way of operating because the attorneys tell them it is. They're members of the court. The sheriffs are officers of the court.
And one of the things that Jim exposed, one of the things that Jim exposed yesterday is Sheriff Richard Mack. He said he was a fraud. He said, I mentioned this Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. And I guess Jim called him up on that. Now Richard Mack won't talk to him. I don't know if that was before or after he had the heart attack.
that was both and remains that way. You see, we are loaded with plants. Anytime we get a group together that is trying to get something done, to get some lawful authority done, to get civil authority placed back in power, well, that's when they start getting scared because they know that the first time we have civil authority anywhere in this country, the dominoes begin to fall and they begin to fall in rapid succession.
This is the reason when I outraged by what happened with the murder of 17 little children in Waco, I started the militias in the governor's office of New Mexico. And my God, it was like, suddenly I was under attack. I couldn't figure it out at the time, Carl. I said, I'm just an old biker from Texas. Why are they attacking me like this? Why are they afraid of me like this? Why are they so afraid of me? And it's
because
you said
truth has no place. Truth has no place in their scope of things. Never has.
I said, "What about the Second Amendment? Don't you understand? I'm not doing anything right here. You know, I'm exactly called for an unorganized militia. Every able-bodied male between the ages of 18 and 45, and we still need that, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's, again, that's why we organize the Americans Standing United. You call militia whatever you want to call us, you know, but the bottom line is if we do not exercise our God-given, unalienable rights to shrug off this thing, this form of government that they try and force down our throats, if we do not do that, then it will be thus forever and ever. There is no more city, county, state government. Listen to me here. There is no more city, county, state government. There is only regional authorities that are called public-private partnerships. They're all incorporated. They are all gaining power and the ability to tax, without your permission, by the way, at light speed. They are UN in origin. They are made to come into existence by the federales with their help of the people in the state, who, by the way, are the elected officials that are continually advised by those very same attorneys on what to do. I've said this before, and let me tell you again, the structure of Georgia, and probably yourself, is thus. We have 12 attorneys sitting up there at the Gold Dome, which is the state capitol. They are the legislative council. When I talk to one of the members of the 12, I ask him who writes the law. And without hesitation, this gentleman says, we draft all law. 12 attorneys, okay? Understand what I'm saying. We draft all law. Now, that doesn't mean that the legislators are completely in the dark about that. No, not always, but sometimes. And that very same 12 is responsible for advising a group called, and this is another for-profit corporation, Association County, and this is the corporate name, Association County Commissioners of Georgia, Incorporated. They have on their staff rotating some of those 12 from the Gold Dome, and they train all of the city and county attorneys how to draft that legislation in their locales. And that's why, in case you wonder how remote areas of your state can have laws that sound very much like laws coming from or statutes and codes coming from other parts of the state. And that's how. That's why. Because it's all part and parcel to the same group. I just found it cool 2 days ago that I thought was kind of curious. A little blurb out there in one of the papers that talked about how the Georgia Bar had initiated an investigation into crimes. The Georgia Bar initiated an investigation. I didn't know that they were an investigating arm of the government, did you? Yet they did. They have assumed all power and control over the lives of men and women. And we have let it because we haven't been paying attention. Well, we're paying attention now, Clayton.
Yes, we are.
And we're coming. And we're coming for them.
I tell you what, one of the things that I just noticed here, now that I'm in Texas, they did a story of a little area just south of Big Spring, south of Interstate 20, of about half a dozen towns. And they had issued more tickets in those towns than they had people. The judges were in on it. Finally, one judge quit and spilled the beans. No, I'm not going to play this game anymore.
Well, we had something similar happening here in DeKalb County, where a special court was set up just to handle these traffic cases. And this was in complete defiance to state statutes and codes. Why? Because, well, that county was kind of running out of money and they needed a new revenue source. So they started doing this own court thing. And the state let them do what they were doing. They didn't really care until somebody actually blew the whistle on it. Millions upon millions upon millions traveled through this court. People were arrested. They were fined. They were incarcerated. Just went through the hands of people like the parole boards and Child Protective Services, every agency that you can think of, all coming from the traffic court that was not a traffic court at all. But as far as I know, they still haven't shut it down.
They're still operating. I got something going on in Arizona. They gave me a ticket in Arizona before I came to Texas for no insurance. I had it. Uh-huh. The insurance agent was supposed to take care of it. She didn't. And 2 years later, I found out I've got they want $1,500 for a ticket that I was not guilty of.
Yeah, well, you know what they can do with their tickets. I'm not going to respond to any more tickets. I'm not going to respond to any more court pleas. I'm not going to respond to anything that they put out there because I know that they're criminals. And if they come after me, I'm coming after them. I will be the aggressor and not the defender.
Well, that's one of the things that Jim and I talked about, and he should be joining us here in about 15 minutes. It's one of the things that we talked about. I've said that I think we, in your organization that you're putting together, fills that role. We need to be able to go after them. We need to be able to tell people, you got busted for pot, you got busted for cocaine. Well, here's the way to handle it. Here's the way to handle it. Here, let's go back. Let's throw it back to them. Let's work together here and stop this whole prison system. I mean, I wrote a book 45 years ago, Carl, saying we ought to abolish all the laws against victimless crimes because there's not any crime there.
Well, if you don't have somebody out there that was harmed by your actions, you have no crime. And I don't care if you're driving through the center of town, stark naked, sitting on top of your car, steering with your feet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you blow through a stop sign. None of that stuff matters unless you put somebody in danger. If you do so and have caused harm, then it's your responsibility to take care of the problem. You are responsible. We are all responsible for our actions.
For 40 years, I've been fighting this whole the whole concept of putting somebody in jail for a plant that God gave us. I just don't think that's right, and I've financed people to write books about it. We've done the research on it. We found out it cures cancer. That's why they don't want you to have it, because it's good for you.
Well, you know, Clayton, once again, it comes back to that dastardly group called the CIA. They are the largest importers of drugs into this country of any cabal. They are directly responsible for the arms sales that are happening across the country. They are directly responsible for creating the enemies that they want you to fight against.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity here to promote my book, Mystery Babylon, The New World Order Unveiled. And I've got documentation from Colonel Edward P. Cotillo that George Bush, the CIA director, sent him down to Columbia to build radio guide towers to bring 100 planes into Albrook Air Force Base, where they were met by George Bush's partner, Manuel Noriega. Manuel Noriega went to jail, but George Bush didn't. And
look,
Argo,
did you happen to see that movie? Did you happen to see the YouTube movie JFK to 9/11? It's a rich man's trick.
No, I didn't.
You need to. Everybody needs to watch that one, and then they'll understand who the players are and what they've done to us. That one is put together better than any that I've seen so far. I do not believe that one is a CIA plant, because everything that has heretofore been put out there concerning the death of JFK has been created and produced by the CIA. Wow, that's great. Later they came on to say that, it was LBJ. He was responsible for that. Huh, really? They don't tell you about George W. Bush's involvement.
He just happened to be standing in front of the book depository. Yeah, he just happened to be there.
They don't tell you about G. Gordon Liddy popping.
What?
They don't tell you about G. Gordon Liddy popping that officer that happened to look exactly like JFK for the purpose of switching the bodies. They don't tell you any of that stuff, because you're not supposed to know. And they don't tell you about they don't show you the YouTube of George W. Bush at Gerald Ford's funeral, literally laughing at the thought of somebody questioning the Warren Commission. He was laughing. Why not? What a job they did to keep this silent. They don't tell you about the fact that...
I'm sorry, you got to repeat that. What was that about the funeral? I had to warm my coffee up. My apologies.
That's okay. Do a Google search on George W. Bush at Gerald Ford's funeral.
Okay.
And watch him at the mention of the Warren Commission, because he knows it was a kangaroo court. It was all, everything was by design. There are no accidents. So, folks, the criminals are working together. Who are the criminals? Well, the criminals are the same mafia families that have been playing havoc with us all these years. I can't tell you when they started, but they've been around almost forever. And they work directly with the CIA. Yes, I said that. They work directly with the CIA and the government entities that they control. Nixon being one that they controlled. There is, you need to watch that YouTube. You need to. And if after watching that, your blood doesn't boil and you find Americans standing united and join with us, then you don't have a pulse. You can't.
Well, I have redesigned my website so I can add a few more videos. I've made it smaller so it'll open easier, and I may even be able to get it up in library somewhere. So I'm working, and we'll put up...
Find those two videos. You can just use a clip of George W. And then put that other one up, the YouTube video. I will put this in your Skype message so that you can see this, Clayton, but really... We need to have this out there for everybody to see, because the bottom line is we have criminals that are masquerading under fraud as your elected officials. And I really don't give a rat's ass whether they know it or not. They are party to it. They have been made aware of the crime. So they now, by virtue of their doing nothing about it, are guilty of misprision, which has been stated to them as well. But of course, when you use the words of truth and then they receive them, what do you think the first thing they do is? Well, of course, they have to check that out with their legal counsel. And legal counsel is going to tell them, oh, you know, that's nothing. Don't pay any attention to that. They're just pissing in the wind. There's nothing they can do. Well, they're wrong. There is something we can do. Two different occasions, I talked with Representative Tom Price, Congressman here in Georgia. And this was when we were trying to get some resolution on the Obama issue of his eligibility done. I looked at him and I asked him, when are you going to do something about this, Tom? He looked me in the eye and he said, when you can make me feel it. When you can make me feel it. Two times the same answer over a period of about 3 months. When you can make me feel it. Folks, we need to make them feel it. That's exactly why Americans Standing United has come into being. We are going to make them feel it. And one way or another, this is not going to be allowed to continue. They are the enemy. They are the criminals. We are the justice. And it's up to us to bring this country back. They're not going to give it to us. We have to take it.
Well,
and it is our right, our responsibility to do that.
It's never been easy to be. I'm going to bring Jim back up. I think it's about that time.
Sure. I saw he's online, so I know he's ready to rock and roll. And in the meantime, folks, when you see American Standing United, there is a construction page out there right now that has a little information on it, and there are some contacts there. Please don't hesitate to contact myself or Greg Todd. And we will give you all the information on how to be an active member in this. We need funding. Yes, it's going to take money to put people where they need to be. If you are not one that can do this,
make a donation.
Then make a donation because we're going to need that money. That's going to be an important ingredient. Lord knows we're fighting against forces that have a absolutely limitless budget to play with.
Jim, welcome to the Free American.
Good morning, Clay. Just got on the call.
You're up with Carl and I, and we're up on a Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, I was just thinking about you and today. I recently have found the way to update my Liberty Villages website. And so I am working on that right as we talk. And what came up from Colorado? Where's from Colorado? We talked about communities working together the other day. And I came up, what popped up here is straw bale homes. And they're making them in Colorado. We're talking about something very efficient in insulation. And people are putting solar on it and living free out there in Colorado. And that we can make millions of these homes out of the straw bale without cutting down any trees. And I don't know, I just felt that it had some relevance for what we're talking about, renewable housing. And they say that Crestone, Colorado is a mecca for natural building. Up to one-third of the homes are built using natural building guidelines, passive solars, using local material, and minimizing wood use. And the film there, I'll put it up on chat room here, a couple of places. It's a house built of straw bale house. Straw bales is profiled. Straw is considered a byproduct of farmer, and enough is harvested each year to produce 2 million straw bale houses. Unlike wood, it can be fully replenished year. How about that?
Well, I don't know anybody that's done one. People have done other things, you know, foam block and other technologies, and the one around more expensive. And there's certain communities that are that have a lot more money in them, and you see some of this, but where I live, not so much.
Hey, Jim, do us a favor and turn the video off, because it'll increase your bandwidth.
Got
there
it.
You go. Okay. So,
yeah,
all of, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and there's all these other technologies. You spoke of solar. I know several people that have that. They're off the grid. Solar free. You know, you not only do you pay for it to put it in your home, but then you have to have a battery pack area. And I don't know anybody that's gotten more than 4 or 5 years out of a system. And it's many thousands of dollars to replace them. So the solar works in areas where people don't have power lines, or, you know, they don't want to spend $100,000 putting one in, you know, back to their property. But they have other source of expense that living off the grid, it just takes. You know, they have a well, you know, they want to have some appliances. You got to watch what you use in your house. You don't want to have the washer dryer running when you use the microwave, or you'll end up using your power out of your battery. And then the other thing is setting the solar panels. And in the wintertime, they don't gain a lot of power due to the angle of the sun. So they have their things that you have to get used to.
Well, there's also the wind. That's been working fairly well across this country on the farms for hundreds of years. And we also have things that you're not allowed to do. That's magnetics. We've got that. I think maybe what we're talking about, the people taking back our legal systems, could also take back our power systems and use it for the benefit of the people, the oligarchs, the banksters.
Right. That is exactly why the people like, who was that? Oh, yeah, Tesla. Was taken care of and removed as a threat to the banksters. Because the only thing they want is a method of control. And when he designed the alternating currents, and the ability to create that alternating current from generators that there at Niagara Falls. When he did that, he gave them the ability to make untold billions, trillions on us. But he also had something called Wardenclyffe. Wardenclyffe was not allowed to ever come online. Why? Because they couldn't regulate it. Because they couldn't meter it. It was, in effect, free power.
Yes.
So the whole idea of being to produce energy from what they call the ether has been around for quite a while. It's no big mystery. Nor is there a mystery as to using clean nuclear. Thorium reactors, for example, don't have any of the byproduct waste, nor do they have the ability to melt through and totally destroy
repeat
the planet,
that.
Like
repeat
you know,
that.
Like
repeat that.
Thorium. Thorium. THOR.
Yes,
I've
talked about that many times. Oh, but there's a drawback to that, Carl. You can't build nuclear bombs out of it. You can't. You got to have the uranium. You can't build a nuclear bomb out of a thorium nuclear plant.
No, you can't. And also the fact that it's a naturally occurring element a lot more frequent than uranium will ever be. That is not going to lend itself to their plans for us.
And you don't have to kill off any to harvest it, right?
That's correct. You don't have to kill off anybody because it's freely for all, and yet they will not allow it. There is also something out there. I can't remember the man's name. But, I just got my tax bill. there's also something out there that is a reactor of sorts, and it uses plasma. Plasma reactors are a source of free energy because they're self-renewing. And plasma's been around for a while. But you see, they cannot let you know about these things because, you see, the people just can't be trusted with that. It's got to be in the hands of the controllers because they know what to do, and you don't. And because you don't, go ahead.
I was going to say they want to be able to take whatever the people have got in mind, make it illegal so that they can control it and charge you back for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't want you doing it. They just want out of the habit.
So, if we have targets of interest, the first and obvious target is going to be the judiciary because it is so out of control now and has taken control of the entire country. The second target, or maybe the first, depending upon your point of view, is going to be the media, because they were bought and paid for and continue to be operated by a small group of people. In Georgia, I know it's Cox Enterprises. And that's happening because they're real dick.
Rothschild bought Reuters News at the turn of the century, last century, or 1800s, late 1800s.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they got together with, what was it, 100 different newspapermen from across the country.
Right.
And they asked them, who would we have to buy in order to control the media? And they were told, buy these five, and then you'll be able to control it all. They did, and they do. And that's why people continue to be dumb, because they get only what is spoon-fed to them through the media. So our targets at some point in the immediate future is going to be those people in the. I gave a story to a Atlanta Journal Constipation. I like to call them the Atlanta Journal Constipation. They say Atlanta Journal Constipation. Sorry, I got the first one wrong. But it's a mullet wrapper, and it goes through the entire state. Talked to one of these reporters, and I told her about the fact that nobody that is supposed to have a bond here in the state has a bond. Why? Because the attorneys got together. They wrote some code back in the early 70s that gave life to this association, county commissioners, and now out in Jim's area, it was CTI. Is it Jim or CTSI?
CTSI, County Technical Services.
Uh-huh. You see, and so they breathe life into these corporations, and these corporations, what they do is they take in all of the supposed bond money from the counties, and then, as good entrepreneurs, they take this money and spirit it away for their own personal gain, to do other nefarious things. And I saw this firsthand. When a liability case actually has to go to court, not right away. I'm looking at one right now here in Georgia that's taken 5 years. So, gee, that one's only for several million, maybe 5 million max. 5 years, that is the premiums that this county just happens to have paid over those 5 years. So, If they are going to be found liable and have to pay this, guess what? They have taken the time to make sure that they have the money in there and they don't actually touch their principal. They're sitting there right now with, I think, a nest egg of $90 million that they've had there for a long time. Plus, they take in over $100 million every year. And this is all done through the attorneys. Oh, yes, legal. Where is this legal? The association, that's legal. Just like CTSI. Jim and I have looked, but guess what? You're not going to find them on the Securities and Exchange Commission and insurance companies. The funds are supposed to be insurance carriers or insurance agents. They are neither. But that's okay, folks, because you see, the attorneys say it's okay. They wrote code in there that says, no, you don't have to be. You can just give us the money, and we'll make sure we take care of it properly. What a deal, huh?
Let me break in, Carl.
Go ahead.
You're talking about this money. You know, we have government treasury funds at the local level, city. And this money is supposed to go to bond our local elected officials. They can't fit it anywhere. They can't send it to a licensed, recognized, regulated insurance provider known to the Securities and Exchange Commission. And it's due to the fraud that these elected officials have already been caught at. So they have to get rid of the money. They send it to a risk management company like CTSI or the State Bar or whatever. They rely on the court system to prevent a case from ever coming to be known to the people, and that's what you're talking about. Now, one of the things I actually found in the Colorado State CAFR was a statement from the Accounting and Administrations Department who produces this financial report. And in regards to these claims against the state, there's a review on these contingencies on the primary government is what they call it. They finished the statement with, the state does not believe that any of these cases are material to its financial operation. They're disclosing why they don't have in Colorado a lot of money dedicated to pay people in the event of loss. But what they're actually doing is the real civil court judges, and listen to me, to not allow people to have a day in court where they can prove their claim and cause a loss, cause a payment. Then on the other side of the court system, in the criminal side, the district attorneys are throwing prosecutorial discretion at these government employees and never bringing them to court in the first place. Once the people read their papers and they find these statements, it's so sad. The government is actually telling the people what they have in mind. It's the people aren't reading the documents. I've got this pulled out. I got the 2012 CAFR pulled up on my computer, read straight from it. The state does not believe any of these cases are material to its financial operations. They don't expect any severe loss, any losses. They don't budget for it. Now, what part of that don't get, I don't know, other than they just are not reading the documents.
Yeah. Jim, we've gone over this time and again. We see what they're doing, how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people do not understand what it is we're talking about because they don't want to understand.
They still believe that they have access to the courts. That's why we hear stories of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, writing legal filings to a court system that never intends to address any of these subjects.
Yeah.
You talked about CTSI. In this particular case, I have documents that record that they are providing this supposed coverage, yet when, as an individual, when I send a request to CTSI for liability coverage, I never hear a response. They don't write a letter. It's like they throw my request into a paper shredder and it's over with. The people have no idea what they believe is there to protect them. Now, when the people understand that, people can come together and work with, you know, whether they fund an organization, you know, if they can't, they can be there. But you've got to let all your individual complaints in. And, you know, that call last night, I was listening to a lot of people complaining about their, a child custody case or a mortgage or a traffic ticket or da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Individually, every one of these people actually have a true loss.
Yep.
But they're not coming together as a group to force the issue. and individually are sitting, the way they're running the system now, they're just ignoring us.
Yeah.
Someday, so they're going to see what the true picture is, and we can deal with it.
Well, they're beginning to see it now, Jim, because of people like you and me and Barney and a lot of others out there that are finally getting to the bottom of this, that the truth is finally becoming known. And I really hate it for all of the people who have thought that by filing all these papers, by doing all these faxes, by doing all these presentments, by doing all these petitions, that they are actually making a difference. They are, all they're doing is killing a lot of trees for no particular reason, because nothing is actually being accomplished. Nothing. They're looking at this stuff, going home in the evenings and or going to the bars in their favorite ivory tower and looking down upon the masses and thinking just how stupid they really are. And that's because, folks, you are. You don't know what you don't know. And that's by design. The National Education Association, that's a design.
But I got to get a plug in here. I want to see hemp paper.
I want to see hemp rope, because we have a lot of deserving people that need to be swinging with it.
It's my opinion. That's one of the reasons they eliminated the hemp. But that may be just my overreaction. How do we do this? How do we do this? Jim, you know, you're in a state I'd like to be in, but no matter what state we're in, where we are, what can we do? How can we organize? How can I help? How can, you know, if the people would get behind us and organize. But I've been demonized so badly. Oh, Clint started a militia. Oh, he's a radical. He's an anti-Semite. How do we get around this? And this is all put on by the media. And this is the people, the reporters that work for that. They're the ones that write the stories. Get around that. How do we get people organized? Now, back when I saw what happened with the children at Waco, I thought, there were three things that I needed to do. One of those was start the Free American Magazine, which I did, and it ran pretty well for 10 years until they tried to kill me. The other thing I did was start the militia. And again, that was what we needed. That's the militia showed their value at the Bundy Ranch, however screwed up that was with the Oath Keepers and everybody else playing the field. What do we do? You know, again, you know, I mean, I'm just one man, but I'm willing to do anything that I can to organize people, speak at groups. You know, right now they have managed to limit my travel. I can't get a driver's license to travel, and if I try to travel and get stopped, they'll throw me in jail. I got to start right from the beginning there. I don't know quite where to go with that. I actually went to the city here, the attorney, a judge here. Oh, nothing I can do for you. Yeah, you've got a provision here for a temporary license. You got a provision here that I can get an occupational license. Why can't I get that? Oh, because you're blocked in Arizona. They've suspended your license in Arizona. Nothing we can do to help you.
Well, okay. I think one of our biggest problems is that the people don't understand what their enemy is really up to. They haven't done enough research to understand. You know, you got to identify the problem before you can do anything to solve it. And I'm gonna have to hop and skip back and forth a little bit. First of all, I live in a where a third of the people are retired. They have everything they want to the last day of their life, and they're involved. They're happy. I mean, the direct deposit and the debit card works. They can watch cable TV. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to talk to anybody. They're happy. They've already put in their 30, 40 years in their career. They're tired of the public mess. So they're at home. Then we have a third of the people that can't find work, or they've been in trouble with the law, you know, with, from having some certain nice paying jobs. They can't be a part of the part of the solution. And then the last third of our community are that are working hard to make, you know, to support families, build infrastructure, whether they work for a government department. Around here, we have the Bureau of Land Management, the Forest Service, the Department of the Division of Wildlife. We got a lot of government workers. They can't get involved because if they're ever seen on camera, like David Justice was, they'll lose their job. So I'm kind of stuck. I don't have a lot of support. Now, if this situation gets much worse and people start losing their jobs due to nothing that they've done, or their retirement checks stop showing up due to nothing that they've done, then I might get some attention. Now, for the people that have suffered losses, you know, whether it's a child custody case, legal prosecution, or I need to drive, but you won't give me a license, and if you catch me driving, you're going to put me in jail. There's going to be a point where enough of those people are going to come together, and a few of us need to be talk to them, educate them, show them our research, let them know not only they know what's happened, then show them who did it and how they did it, and then give them a way to fix it. We can't go back in history 5 years, 10 years, 20 years and try to correct wrongs that were done. We need to start with tomorrow. What happens today, and we fix it tomorrow.
Now, one of the things that you just triggered something. What if I demand the documentation from the judge that refused to look at my appeal? I sent them all the information. I showed them I had insurance. I showed them I did. There was no way I was guilty of any there.
I want to use you as an example. I'm going to use you as one of the examples of millions.
Okay.
You just spoke about, well, why don't I go ask a judge, a known criminal, a guy that is not qualified to be there, to help me through his position and do what's right? He never had any intention of treating me from the day he took his office.
Okay.
Or you or anybody else that has come before him and asked and made a request?
I was actually thinking more of blackmail, but...
Okay. This is the thing. And I spoke yesterday, or not with you, I spoke yesterday. Carl and I are actually working, gathering enough documents.
Okay. All right. Don't think we lost much. Now, back to that. If we had a group in Colorado, I don't care what state I get my license in, somehow I need to get it back. Somehow I need to get my right to travel without having to go every time and fight this. It's really hard to fight some of these things if they turn you off. Go ahead with what you were saying now.
Well, what we got to do is educate the people, identify a problem that can actually be dealt with. And I say we need to take a look at whatever the Bar Association in whatever area the group would pick on. Find the statutes. Find the violations and use their own rule book to beat them, to get them displaced from their position of power. Now, I'm going to give you an example here. In the middle of May, I drove to Denver. Met with a group of people that were calling themselves court watchers. What they was is several people going to go in and witness what happened to one of the group members over a traffic violation. Well, first of all, I believe the court knew this group was coming, so they had some replacement judge show up. The defendant made the statement he witnessed treason on the court. After the judge told him to go talk to the bailiff and settle his account, you know, do whatever the court had ordered, which the illegal court. Several people jumped up, witnessed, and treason on the court, treason on the court. The bailiffs come over and got in their face. Everybody sat down, and then the defendant went over there and dealt with the bailiff, walked out with his tail between his legs. It was a whole wasted trip. Nobody got anything that the group wanted to do. Well, first of all, they were recognizing the authority of an illegal court by showing up in the first place.
Yep.
They didn't do it right. You know, God bless them for their efforts and for their dedication to try to make a change. They don't understand their enemy. And that's what Carl and I have been, how long, Carl? Months and months and months, sharing documents back and forth. Holy moly.
Well, that is exactly what needs to be done. If the attorneys are in their schools and their colleges on how to oppress us, don't we need to set up classes and these, like my friend Jake said, Timothy Bible College, that's an online college, but it don't cost you, you don't have to hawk your house to go.
The trainer
the people to defend ourselves and to stand up against these things. They've got the training, we don't.
People need to get out from behind their computer screens. Studying online and living behind a locked door isn't getting it done. You know, we need to get out in the public. We need to force some issues. We need to send some documents. So, like, one of the things I wanted to tell you, and I'm not trying to promote my own story, but there was a day here about 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I went in to see a government employee. And my county retaliated against me with a hearing. You know, they put a restraining order on me. Yeah, if I show up to this illegal court's hearing, then they were going to arrest me. They were going to bring me into their system. Eventually, this court did not hear any evidence and recognized this to substantiate the claim. Error on the side of justice, they went ahead and ordered, he granted this protection order. This keeps me from attending county meetings. Now, I can violate that order. I know it's an illegal court. I've got the documents to prove it. That judge was not qualified to hold his position. Yet, if I go into a Board of County Commissioner meeting, the lead law enforcement agent for the county, known as the sheriff, who is also not properly qualified, legally qualified to hold his position, they'll order him to arrest me. They'll drag me out, put me somewhere, and the people won't know where it happened to me. Now, that situation has been going, this December will be 4 years. I can't get one person in my community to want to organize and do what's right to expose this to the rest of the people. I live with Steve in the same community as Steve Curry, and he's taken off on this common law grand jury. Well, nobody wanted to back that. He's now turning out these hundreds of millions of dollar financial claims against entities that have no intentions of dealing with him in the form of BEOs, showing people how to privatize themselves, how to draw up their certificate and sign, you know, cut their finger and put a little blood on it. Like, you know, that's bulletproof and it makes me Superman and you guys have to listen to me. Well, let me tell you what's really happening. Nobody's listening to the few of us that are trying these other ideas. But the one thing is, when I talked to Steve Curry about, you know, in fact, I drove to his house to get one document that proves that one of our lead government officials at the state level committed fraud. He failed to refused or failed to provide that document to me. You know, yeah, come and get it. I get there and he won't give it to me. We've got people trying to fix their own problems. They're not worried about the group effort. They're doing the same things I've been doing for years that taught me that you can't deal with a criminal judicial system. We need to get over that. I don't care if it's in Georgia, we care if it's in West Virginia. I don't care if it's in California or everybody can come here. Wherever we've got the best chance to affect a difference, we need a few thousand people to get in front of the government and let them know that this thing is getting out of hand, that the people know what's going on, and they demand a change. I don't know how to deal with getting a driver's license until we remove the judge that you're making the request to. Replace him with somebody that has an intention of working with you to help you use these other mechanisms through our government. What you've proven is that man won't help you. Seems to me like you need somebody else.
It's a woman, but we should demand her bond. If she don't have a bond, then she shouldn't be a judge. How do I find that out from here?
Yeah, well, now, I'm to that point in my state. I'm asking the state law enforcement agency, who is actually controlled by law, I'm asking mid-level people eventually to take out their boss. They're going to have to arrest their boss to make any of this work. It's the rock and the hard place. Individually, they're not paying any attention to me. If I had a few people behind me, maybe something would change. One of the things is if we ever help somebody somewhere and it doesn't work, then the people can see through the education that they're going to have to take the next step. Whether it's a situation like at the Bundy Ranch, I don't know. I don't think we're quite there yet. With enough people, there's 4 million people in the state, and 10% of them work for the government. Well, if another 10% face off with them, we might have a chance to remove these criminals. Individually, one against 4 million or one against 400,000 isn't going to do us. So it's back to what Carl's saying. If you can't be there, send in a buck or two. Show your support. One of the things Carl and I have talked about, and there's another gentleman in Carfell, is the fact that with all the documents that we have, Carl and I could put on some fantastic seminars. We're not saying they're doing something somewhere. I'm naming Dan Hotzenkeller, the 7th Judicial District Attorney, is violating Title 30 in our state laws with no insurance, no bond, is not qualified. I'm naming names, giving locations. This is a violation, but nobody's helping. This is why their system is actually surviving to this day.
Well, that's
nobody's doing what it takes to change it.
That's kind of what I was about to say. We need people behind us. We would be lucky to get a half that would look up from their television set.
Well, there's going to be an awful lot of that. But it's, last night Carl was on a show, and I don't know how many people are listening, but there was a lot of people asking questions. But every one of those questions had to do with some individual little trinkety issue that really did nothing to address the subject of what I thought was the call and of the people getting together. You got to fix the big problem before we can fix any of the small problems.
Yeah, and that's what we're dealing with across the board, Jim. And to that end, it is going to take that one, that one prod, that one issue where we make it happen. We have to make it happen, and we can. I know we can. So, if we do what we can do individually, I don't really care what it takes. What I do care is that we grow the American Standing United into a viable force for people in other locales who will look towards any actions that are done as justification for them not doing anything, and then they'll just wait because people are basically lazy and they've been stupefied all these years. So, if they see something positive happening, they'll cheer and say,
I would suggest, and this is the way we did it at the Wake Up meetings in Albuquerque 20 years ago. We made flyers, and we put them up at the laundromats. We put them at the grocery stores, American Standing United. We might get a few, if you do the flyers right, and you've got some good speakers coming in, and you two are excellent examples here. we might be able to build a membership and get the donations and get the income that we need to carry this on and do it right.
That's a possibility. You know, and we're gonna do everything that we can make it a reality. But right now, I'm going to have to use a two-pronged attack, and Jim is as well. We still go out there and hammer the existing power structure with the truth. Granted, they're not going to do anything with it because they have nobody that's going to make them feel it. But once we put together a sizable number that can go to one locale and be a part of this as opposed to just sitting on their butts and doing nothing, then things are going to change a little bit. And that's where we're at. So all I can say, folks, is if you are within earshot of this message, please realize that no document that you put forward, none of these emails that you get that is going to put a fax in your name out to these criminals is going to make one iota of difference. They don't. It's just a game that's being played with your money and your time to keep you busy, to make you think that you're doing something good, when guess what? All they're doing is separating you from your money and occupying your time. Talk time is over. It's been over for a long time. We have to act now. The criminals have been exposed. The crime has been exposed.
One of the things I want to point out to the people, Carl, is when I spend 8 hours a day down there dealing with a government official, that money's out of my pocket, and that same 8 hours they're in front of me dealing with me, the government's paying them for it. They get paid for doing nothing. That's what they get paid the most, and that's what they do the best. Once they understand that, they're going to look for the mechanism to get these statutes enforced, you know, whatever you believe is the law. And until that happens, and the other thing is, this is dangerous work. These are not dangerous people, but they will retaliate against you if you're in, you know, if you go in there individually. But as a group, these are meek and mild people hiding behind a badge or because they carry a gun or they're in a building that has sheriff's deputies and metal detectors and murders. And so access is controlled. You know, there's going to be a day enough people are going to get together and we're going to change that. You change it in one place, you can change it in all places. Look into ASU. You know, look into ASU. The people that are listening to this could ask themselves, well, how could I help these people help me? You know, I didn't hear the first part of your call, Carl. I haven't really promoted my little claim. I'm not doing this for myself. Now, it will help me, but it will help every other resident in the state of Colorado equally the same. What you're doing in Georgia helps every other citizen in the state of Georgia just as much as it helps you. So the people that are listening to this call could ask themselves, well, how could I be a part of that? What, you know, I can't travel. Is it worth it? I'd almost rather him call in and say, you know, I'd either please accept my donation and keep me apprised of what your group is doing, or I don't believe it. We need to know from the people, are there enough people that actually care about this so that we can press on, or are we just pushing a rope uphill that it will never work?
This story will go up on YouTube, Free American 69. It'll be on Facebook, Free American 69. It'll be on freeamerican.com, and we're trying to get that another website that is not blocked in libraries. That would be crdouglas.com. You know, I am really doing everything I know of that I can think of to help the groups like you're trying to put together. And I really like the idea of Americans United. It's a I've told people over the years, 20 years I've been doing this, talk to your neighbor, talk to your family. You know, we don't, they want to label us as radicals. They want to label us as, you know, whatever name is the du jour name of the day for anyone that's trying to get a change, trying to make a difference here.
Well, all I can say is we do what we can do. We help where we can help. Just so you know, Jim, I don't have any issues like anybody else does. I don't personally. I know people who do, but I don't have those issues. So I come to this with a fresh approach. And I think that if you don't have that going on, then maybe, just maybe, people will understand that you're doing it for the right reasons. We have to do it for the right reasons. And the right reasons are to help one another, not just each other, not just one person, but help everybody. Because once this starts, everybody that has an item of redress, well, guess what? They're gonna be dealt with, everyone. Because one of the things that's supposed to happen in this country is every item of redress is there for you to deal with should they decide at some point they want to. Now, they don't, and they won't, but we can, and we will.
Earlier in the conversation, the subject of getting access to the media came up.
Yes, I
wanted to say something and kind of forgot about it until now. But I want to make a mention for the listeners to know who actually owns like the eight Associated Press or United Press International. Several years ago, I had somebody say, well, you need some media help. You need some media help. And I got all fired up, and I was sending off certified documents and trying to get some attention from Pulitzer Prize-winning news reporters and whatnot. I couldn't get any traction on this, and so I got to actually doing a little bit of research. And it's been a couple or 3 years. You ought, and I'm not going to say who it is because it could have changed. People ought to do a small Google search and look at who actually owns, where is the home office of the UPI and the AP? That will stagger you. You will now, if you do that, you will find out why the people do not have access to the media.
City of London, maybe?
Well, I think that I remember right, and like I say, these things change hands. You know, they change them around. They were both had ties back to. So. You know, you got to understand your enemy. You got to know what you're dealing with, who they are, and what they're up to. Find their rule book. Find a way, you find what they're violating and then present that to the people. That's what Carl and I have been doing. I kind of knew Carl didn't really have a personal loss due to a government taking or not. He's in this for the right reason because it's the right thing to do. American people need the help. I don't know if I'd be in this or not had I not suffered a loss, proved the loss, and for years had to go recap, and every time something derogatory happened, it had to do with a bar member. What is the problem? Who are these people? So I started doing the research, met Carl. We've been sharing documents. He comes up with fantastic stuff that helps me in Colorado, and every now and then I come up with a tidbit that helps him in Georgia.
It's my opinion, and I could be wrong here, that the bar, so the offices for the Bar Association are right next to the Bank of England Rothschild office.
It has to do with their franchise organization structure. We have county bars, state, we have town bars, city, county bars, state bars, American bar, international bar. One is a franchise of the other, which is a franchise of the other, and yes, they all lead back to that area that you're discussing. We have women's bars, men's bars, Jewish bars. I was actually set back when I saw what I was really dealing with. People don't know how big their organization is. That's why we're having a hard, and they're very, very, very cohesive. It's controlled by a very, very few small, a few number of people in the bar, and nobody in the bar does anything until the control people give them direction or have written a set of guidelines for them. They follow the rules.
They have their own guidelines, and I've just accepted on my Free American website, the new redesigned Free American website. It's called Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and as I've told, it doesn't matter who wrote it. They're all dead now. What matters is that this is document for a one-world government under Satan, and it doesn't matter who wrote it, but it is what is happening, and the lawyers are basically working for the satanic people that want to run the world.
That is correct.
Yeah. I stay away from the labeling like that. I'm just dealing with the guy in front of me, you know, who's doing it right now.
And when I talk about the Bolshevik Revolution here, again, that's not when I talk about Stalin, when I talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, I'm not labeling anybody. These are people that are working for the banksters, don't care where they were born. I don't care what race they are, what color they are. I want to know if they're working for the people or working for themselves. You describe are basically criminals, whether they're satanic or whether they're pretending to be Christians, really doesn't matter much. They're still criminals.
Yesterday, I take that back. A couple days ago, I was talking with a gentleman down in Arizona, and I was trying to help him understand his problem. So through the screen sharing on Skype, I brought up his Arizona bar. In the paragraph or two in the mission statement, it gave his problem. They actually wrote what he was up against. There's 18,000 bar members under the control of 30 elected board members of the bar. He can write letter requests to 17,970 people in the bar. And it will all go to that control group of 30 people for a decision. This is a very, very, very tightly held group doing one particular thing, and that's finding a way to take advantage of the people of our country individually. I don't care what your race, I don't care about their religion. We know history back thousands of years. We know how they put together what's happening today. I'm just trying to change tomorrow so it's not the same as today.
That's right.
And so we know they got money. Holy moly, Carl shared with me some documents on the trillions of dollars being controlled by these hidden bar corporations. It's, you ought to read where they file with the SEC. They list themselves, a particular corporation, function as a religious and education corporation. People don't know that. The documents are available. If the people knew what they are really up against, they would come together and change this. So educating the people is going to be the first trick.
Either they, yep, or they get afraid. I'm just one man. What can I do? If you don't do anything, you know.
Some people come to it quicker than others. You bet. You know, you educate them. They may have already had a scare. They may already had a problem. Once they know how to, once they hear a plan they think is going to work, they'll get with the group. They're looking for the group.
Well, I'm looking forward to sharing this here on Americans Standing United. You really, three words outlines the solution to everything that we've talked about, everything that we're up against. And you can include the wars. You can include, packing up your kids. I volunteered when I was 17. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Send me over to Vietnam. You know?
Yep.
We have to educate. That's what we do the show for. It's what I do a magazine for. And I really appreciate you guys being on my show.
That's our pleasure. And
this venue.
Now we just got to get this message out to as many as possible. So,
okay.
We're hoping
this will be up on freeamerican.com. That'll take you to Blog Talk. The URL under your name, Carl, will provide the URL for the show. It'll also be up on YouTube, FreeAmerican69, and Facebook, FreeAmerican69. Since FreeAmerican Libraries, I put it on Facebook. So, again, I'm doing everything I can to get this message out. This is why there's no commercials on this. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. Yeah, I'd like to have a donation. Yeah, that would really help. Got dental work I need to do. It ain't covered by Medicare. You can make a donation at freeamerican.com. And I am here for anyone that wants to talk. I'm certainly not hiding. My phone numbers are on there. My website's on there. My email's on there. And I see, Carl, that you've done the same thing on America Standing United. You do have a thing down here that says visit Freedom Outpost Everywhere. We're going to go there.
We're going to be putting links to all of the various groups out there and the various radio shows that are doing this stuff. Of course, yours is going to be one of them. And we're going to link to it because everybody needs to be a part of this. I mean, the issues are common across the board. Everybody has an individual, but the sooner they come to the understanding that by bonding with other people who haven't and coming off of the high horse, that it's only theirs that's going to make a difference, then we can begin to turn this thing around.
Right.
That's what this is all about.
Appreciate, if you would make one correction and do me a favor here.
What's that?
On the first line, put a knee in beginning.
Oh, well, that's just a construction site. Give me a break, okay?
I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist.
what can I say? I'm not perfect.
All right.
You guys,
I got to drop off a little bit early here. God bless you. It's a great show, and you're, of course, welcome back any time.
Thank you very much, Clayton, and we hope to be back on real soon. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Jim. Thank you for being here. Carl Swenson, Jim Porter. God bless you both. Bye-bye.